Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. So I started off, first thing I said when I walked in this morning, besides, hey, Rich, stop dancing, was... I you'll notice I did not include the alligator story of the child and the tragedy that happened at Disney World, and the fellow panelists then said, oh, well, we want to talk about that story, and well, Rich didn't, but Rosemary and Alan did. Wow. So
I think everybody's talking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah. All right. So that by popular demand, we'll talk about it. Good morning. Welcome to the Roundtable. It's very nice to have you with us. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. And it's very nice to have you with us as always. Alan Chartok is with us. Good morning, sir.
Why my fingers?
Oh, well, hold on.
Oh, yeah. You always do that for me. Thank you.
Well, you know.
Thank you.
It helps.
This
we can
is
hear
radio,
you then.
Yeah. But my fingers are tired. I have to tell you, I've been rehearsing for the Berkshire Ramblers. For the Berkshire Ramblers being over at
Cafe Lena on Saturday night at 7 p.m. They're not at Cafe Lena. It's for Cafe Lena. It's actually at another location.
And it is for Cafe Lena.
It is for Cafe Lena. It's their fundraiser.
Their fundraiser, and we hope everybody will come out and help us support them. That's it.
CafeLena.org.
Saturday night.
Yes, Saturday night, 7 p.m. The Berkshire Ramblers, Alan and the Berkshire Ramblers at... Do you remember the name of the venue? I can't think of the name of it right now.
The Grove.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
I've
you,
heard it enough.
You've been listening.
Yeah.
Thanks, Rosemary.
See, it works, Rosemary.
The Grove. you can find out, and which is right near Cafe Lena, so it's not that far. It's right on Lake Avenue. And it's Cafe Lena, C-A-F-F-E, Lena.org, and you can find out more information and get tickets for that event on Saturday night.
Going fast.
All right. Rosemary Armeo is with us. She is director of the journalism program at the University at Albany. Good morning.
Good morning.
Very nice to have you with us. Corporate attorney Rich Honan with us as well. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning.
It's very nice to have you all here. Let us talk about what is going on. And since it seems to be the mood of the room, let's talk about the other tragedy that happened in Orlando. Orlando's had a bad week.
What a curse.
Three horrible stories coming out of Atlanta. Or excuse me, out of Orlando. And the most recent was yesterday. The body of a two-year-old was finally found deep in the water outside of a the Grand Floridian, which we should say is sort of the premier resort on the Disney property. This is the most beautiful and luxurious of the Disney resorts. And Lane Graves was the young boy. He was splashing around in the shallow waters of a lagoon, and his parents and his sisters, all from Nebraska, were at the resort. And suddenly an alligator came from the water and came around the boy. The father, Matt Graves, bound into the lagoon and tried to wrestle his son from the animal, lost the battle. And then the alligator made off with the boy. There was an intense search, and then more than 16 hours later, on Wednesday afternoon, divers found him about 6 feet below the surface and only 10 to 15 feet from where he had last been seen. The body was completely intact, according to the sheriff. Mm. And, of course, it's a very tough story. We should say that a sign has said that swimming was not permitted in the lagoon,
there was no sign that said alligators, which is a whole different level. You don't even go near the water when
it's there. I understand it's Florida, and I also understand that there are alligators in Florida. My wife and I were having this discussion last night as we were driving home. But why, you would think at a resort, and you would think
right.
certainly at Disney where there are as many children, if not more than adults, that there would be, although certainly adults could be eaten by an alligator as well.
But you got to be careful of dogs, pets, and certainly little children around bodies of water. So to me, I think that the Disney lawyers were working late last night on this one. This is bad. They actually went in and they've now caught and killed four alligators in there, and they're looking for a fifth. So a body of water that attracts all kinds of children, and there's not a warning, and apparently they were unaware. I don't know. It's mind-boggling.
It's also an artificial lake. It's 14
right.
feet deep.
Right. It has got water. So.
It does have water, sure. And it does feed through this complex that goes through. So even if... Even if you, to your point, even if you take, it goes...
Puddles. They could go into puddles. If you live in Florida, you basically assume that any body of water has an alligator in it.
Right.
But these people are from Nebraska. They don't even have water in Nebraska.
Yeah.
And the other thing about Florida is, I mean, you're right that this is a bizarre story to bring up because there's no debate. There's nobody in favor of alligators using children.
Well,
like,
no, it's just tragic. It's just a tragedy.
It's horrible, horrible story. The other one in Florida that I remember vastly is it was wild not too long ago, and now there's this vast development going on. So in a place near Sarasota where I used to work, the land had been cleared and they put up ranch houses, and a man was out one evening watering the lawn. He had his three-year-old with him, and this ginormous, you know, mythical, biblical snake comes out, and a rattlesnake, and bites the little boy. And it's so huge compared to this little tiny child that it died almost instantly. That is the worst story I heard in Florida until this alligator story.
I mean, anyone who has done time in Florida knows that, you know, they're all around and you see them. I think it's kind of hard as like deer here. It's hard to see. It's hard to go very far without seeing an alligator in
right.
certainly in southern Florida. I mean, I remember my wife and I were talking about this story. We went to the Everglades National Park a few years ago, and we're walking along and the alligators are all over the place.
They're right on the side of the road, and people go right up to them.
No,
they're animated.
The parents are saying to their children, right. "Go up and take a picture next to the alligator, as if they're not going to hurt them." It's bizarre.
Go straddle the alligator, and we're going to take your picture. What?
It is. Which, of course, we always have those stories out of Yellowstone
bison have that park, that photogenic thing.
And bears.
And
it's crazy.
And when you live in a world where they have to actually put up a sign saying, do not take selfies with the bears.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know? It's...
But to be fair, none of this had anything to do with the parents, though.
The parents
were right there. The kid was
right
in
there,
6 inches. You know, no fault.
The alligator,
I don't think the gorilla had anything to do with the parents. Those of us who have small children know that you can watch them, be around them, and in a minute they can get themselves into trouble.
I would say, now I know why you want to do this story. You want to get back to the gorilla.
That gorilla story bothers me that those parents were so vilified. Why didn't anybody say, boy, the architect of that enclosure is really at fault here? Mm. It's too easy to go after the mother, not the father, although he was there too. And I believe she was a black woman. So I think that was part of it too. There was a little bit of racism in that. We're not hearing that from the Nebraska family. Every story I read has gone out of its way to say the father went after. He got cut trying to save it. The mother was involved. There were other children in the family.
Yeah.
Could also have been that coverage in the wake of the gorilla coverage.
Was more sensitive?
No, that they knew that would be a question that would be asked and they wanted to address it. You know, right up front, the idea of, you know, was
that's possible.
That's very nice, an optimistic view.
Alan?
Well, you know, it is interesting that this kicked the Trump story off the front page of the Tabs, and they showed big, gigantic alligators with their mouths open. Listen, I'm a grandfather now. For the first time, I have a 2-year-old grandson, and I can't think of anything that has affected me. I'm right with Rosemary. When she says that the rattlesnake story was the worst thing that she's seen.
I still have nightmares about it.
Yeah. And it is something that everybody can understand and relate to. And that's why it is the number one story in the country right now.
And each one of these incidents, horrible word, in Orlando have been people who were having fun. They went to a concert. They were going to a nightclub dancing. They're at this resort, which they probably saved up, spent their family vacation on.
That is not
the
a cheap
worst
resort.
Time.
Right?
No, they worked on
$900 a night. Yes, go ahead.
Whoa.
And at the time when you least expect trouble, you get the worst kind of tragedy. It's just awful.
And the other thing about the lagoon is that it's hard to describe for anyone who hasn't been there, but it is. But there are no swimming signs, and it is a lagoon, but it is also beachscaped so that because there are fireworks that take place mm-hmm. there, there's a series of canals that go over to the Magic Kingdom Park as well as to the other parks. So they encourage people to to sort of congregate along those beaches. And I mean, even with the no swimming sign, the child really wasn't doing anything out of the ordinary that you wouldn't expect to do. He wasn't really swimming. He was just splashing around.
Walking around in the water.
In the water, which is sort of encouraged because they have beach chairs and so forth going up. So even, I mean, I think you're right about Disney's lawyers, but I'm not... Other than...
If the sign had said alligators, I don't think parents would have let their kids even walk in the water. I would not let mine.
Well, that's true. And did they know? And that's the other thing. Right. Yeah. That's a good point. We should also mention that Walt Disney World and Walt Disney Resorts, they do have a wildlife management team. They have a team that monitors alligators and other animals, and they regularly remove them, the animals that appear to be, as they say, troublesome. Mm-hmm. But I don't
nuisance
know.
Nuisance alligators.
Yes,
call
nuisance
them.
Alligators. So, and that we should also note that in, what is it, 40 years that Walt Disney World has been around?
This has never happened before.
As I always say, it just takes once.
Well, that's right. That's right. Absolutely.
Okay, well, it takes the pressure off the sharks, you know, who have been biting people on the eastern coast for the last few years.
Well, you won't catch me anywhere around an alligator. You won't catch me anywhere around a shark either.
I think that's prudent.
But lawyers, that's different. Yes.
you went somewhere different than I thought you were going to go.
Oh, you did? Well, tell us where you thought I was going to go.
You wouldn't catch you anywhere near Disney World either.
That's true. That's true. And, and Roselle did that honor with our children. We got an interesting letter from Charlene, who talked about how she was going to go to South Carolina in a planned place. Newsletter was very specific that we're not to call the office unless the alligator in our yard was over 6 feet. The planned communities in South all have man-made small ponds. Common knowledge, they attract alligators, also part of golf courses. I decided, said Charlene, and this is the sentence I love, that I would prefer the winters here. I love that. That's funny.
We're going to take a, let's take a break, and then when we come back, we'll get into other stories. And, get a letter or two before we go to news at the bottom of the hour. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Mass Mocha, North Adams, Massachusetts, presenting a new exhibition in Kidspace and Dan Zane's Lead Belly Project in concert on June 18th. MassMocha.org. And Ashokan Center, building community through shared experiences in nature, history, and the arts. The Ashokan Center in the Catskill Mountains, where nature inspires. AshokanCenter.org.
Good morning. Thank you very much for being back to being back with us, and welcome back to the program. We have a few minutes before we go over to news, and we can read a few of the letters on what we started with, and then we'll get into many other stories and what else is going on in the world.
Brendan says, such a sad story made worse than that Disney imagery is so prevalent throughout the country. The poor parents are going to keep seeing reminders of this horrible day. Also, how is it that Disney can keep the mosquitoes out, but the alligators manage to slip through?
Well, that's a great question.
Now, here's somebody. I don't know how to take this. I don't know if it's sardonic or not. John says, good morning. Thank you, Roundtable. We now know that Florida has alligators.
Yeah, that's sardonic. But to increase your knowledge, it's 1.5 to 2 million alligators, more than any other state in the union. Definitely more than Nebraska. That was sardonic.
What Disney and the zoo incident show is that both the declining IQ of those we call parents, the distraction factors in the lives, and how a single moment can be tragic. Also shows the callous attitude of corporate America is not expecting someone to go into the pond at a park or a child to slip through an opening in the fence.
I call baloney on all of that.
Because?
Because children have always had horrible accidents despite having loving parents. I don't think IQ has slipped, and I don't think Disney intended for this to happen, if for nothing else than the kind of publicity it's getting now, which Disney does not like. It's actually a very good corporate. Well, they have some problems. I'm rolling back from that.
You probably want to take back from that.
But as far as safety goes, and lines and management, they have some really good things. Well, paying people is another matter.
Eddie sends a note, says, I live in Monroe, New York, and I always am very careful when I walk into my backyard. Got to watch those black bears. We never should forget that we share nature with nature. Now, we have a bear in our backyard also. It comes around, makes a pretzel out of our bird feeder bowl and stuff. But, you know, bears are generally okay if you leave them alone. And, you know, every once in a while you hear a bad bear story. But alligators, for God's sakes, you know what an alligator is going to do if they see a meal in front of them? I mean, it's just awful. Okay. Once again, says Scott, warnings were ignored and opportunities were missed in Orlando. The shooter was denied bullets and body armor by a gun shop. They reported the suspicious guy to the authorities. Nothing was done. He was on a watch list, but no red flag came up. ATF and FBI were not notified the guy brought guns. Adding more laws and restrictions on law-abiding citizens isn't the answer. The government needs to do a better job. Most of the shooters are mental cases. Where is the cry for better mental health? Nope, just go after guns and Second Amendment. Well, we have heard many cries for better mental health, operations.
That's the first I've heard that, though, that one gun dealer was alerted authorities about this guy. I had not heard that.
I had not heard that either.
If that's true, I have to agree with it. I just don't know if it's true.
I think the two items that came out yesterday were that another call had been made during the attack to a CNN affiliate, and then also a call made to a friend during the attack, which we'll talk more about when we get back after the break. Do you have another letter, or are we?
Oh, sure. I'm sure.
Okay,
we
just one more, and then we'll go to our break, and we'll come back and reset.
Okay. So Robert says, I hope I didn't read this one already. Parents allowed a toddler to wander unattended around ABC in a Florida pond with no swimming signs posted in plain sight. Dollars to donuts. These said excuses for parents. Oh, come on now.
No, that's horrible.
I'm not going to read that.
All right. Let's take a break and we'll be back.
You're banned for a while.
We'll take a break. We'll be back. You're listening to the Roundtable Panel. Alan Chartok is here. Rosemary Armeo. Rich Honan joins us as well. We will continue our conversation. We welcome your letters. Roundtable@WAMC.org. We'll be back after this news from the BBC. Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable.
That's not true.
It's nice to have you with us. Roundtable@WAMC.org, roundtable@WAMC.org. So let us go to other stories this morning and talk about, we can talk about Donald Trump and the NRA. We should mention that and talk a little bit about that. And we should also mention that President Obama will be in Orlando this morning, meeting dozens of those grieving for loved ones murdered in a mass shooting. And he will be there with the vice president today. Also, Republicans are offering support and sympathy for the Orlando victims, but do not appear to be changing their stances on legal protections for gays. Donald Trump is meeting with the NRA, which has endorsed him to discuss an initiative that it has rejected, banning gun sales to people on terrorist watch lists. And then sort of putting all of these together. But then Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut and dozens of Democrats called for gun limits in a filibuster that lasted about 15 hours yesterday, ending early this morning. Mr. Murphy said he secured agreement for votes on gun safety measures when it was over. Republican lawmakers are using various means to try and keep their distance from Mr. Trump after his latest call to ban Muslim immigration. So let's begin with the filibuster, Chris Murphy. And will anything meaningful come out of that?
Well, first of all, a lot of attention comes out of it, you know, and Chris Murphy has been on our airways many, many times as a regular contributor in the
Congressional Corner,
and a terrific guy, and he did what he had to do. And I know him well enough to know this was not some kind of a political stunt. This was a guy who really is just, after Sandy Hook, was just absolutely bereft. It was terrible for him. And that is, he did a good thing. That's all. I just had an image of Jimmy Stewart sitting up there, you know, you know, Mrs. Smith
goes to Washington. Yeah.
But as far as the agreements, do we know what those include?
I guess the sticking point is, well, first, they might actually get something done on this, on the background check part of it. And right now, I think one of the sticking points is all right, so what are you going to do with this waiting period? And is the burden going to be on the government to show that the person should not get the weapon? Or are you going to, right now, it's very burdensome on the government as proposed, that they would have like 3 days to prosecute for prosecutors to show that. And I think if they could make that more doable, they might actually get some agreement on some level of background check.
Call me cynical, but I just think these guys are so scared of the NRA.
Alan, they had this before. You know, that's one of the tragedies here is, of the many tragedies. In April of 13, after Sandy Hook, when they couldn't get gun control done and Obama had his little snit afterwards,
I object to that terminology.
They had
agreement on background checks. They had 90% of the public. Everybody had agreement on background checks, and the administration left the assault weapons ban in the bill. And even though Harry Reid said I can't get 40 votes on that, at a time when he had 55 Democrats, if they had stuck to background checks only then, we might have gotten it done then.
Yeah.
And there has been at least two or three major tragedies that could have been averted.
I agree with Rich. We have had this attitude that if we can't solve the entire problem, we do nothing. And yet this is one clear, everyone agrees on it.
Right.
There's some procedural problems, yes, but we agree. If you're a suspected terrorist, maybe we ought to be a little bit careful about selling you a gun.
Right.
So let's do that.
I think if there was any partisanship
and anybody could have sat down and worked out a deal on some of it, I think that could have happened. But that certainly wasn't the climate.
Right.
I think it was a terrible political mistake to leave that ban in the bill then. The fact that we're now talking about just background checks, I think there's a shot. I really do. The fact that there's so little time left in the Obama administration may allay some of the concerns of the Republicans who were very worried that if we take this step, what's the next kind of extra legislative thing that's going to happen, whether it's executive order
wise? So they're not worried about Hillary Clinton, who has a much stronger and more stated anti-gun policy than Obama.
I think background checks is a doable thing, and I think possibly they can get something done.
So Kenny writes us a letter on this political issue on the guns and says, Trump and the NRA, he may convince them that if they give in on this one thing, it will elect him, which they ultimately want, the NRA. I wouldn't be surprised if Trump emerges from this meeting with the NRA triumphantly saying, see, I secure this concession, but no one else could have done it.
I actually thought of that myself, and I think that's pretty good. I would do that if I were running. The most interesting thing to me, an investigative reporter friend did some research on that saying that we keep hearing, guns don't kill people, people kill people. It came from a gun manufacturer who is trying to emphasize a program of gun safety.
Right.
And now it's become a defense of guns. It's just so ironic the way words get twisted.
The other irony is just gun sales have skyrocketed.
Because people are afraid there'll be a ban.
Yeah, over the last couple of years.
That happened after Sandy Hook. Whenever we have a shooting, we sell more guns.
So while there may be...
And after the SAFE Act was passed.
Before it went into effect, there was a huge...
So if Donald Trump is able to do something here and to use some leverage in bringing it together with the NRA, how far will that go in... Help bringing together the Republicans who are so
disparate.
Well, yes, and they're just distancing themselves in record fashion here.
Well, are you asking what effect it might have on the potential legislation?
I'm just trying to get to the story I'm more interested in the election of what is going on as far as the Republicans distancing themselves from their nominee.
Oh, they're going to keep doing that, right? Right, no matter what he does with the NRA,
I agree.
They got to keep doing that.
He doesn't care. He doesn't care. He's dissing the press, he's distancing himself from them.
Yeah. He's saying they need to get tougher.
And he says he needs, he's going to go alone.
Well, I think he's won thus far based on being an outsider, and he is not about to sit down with them and say, "Okay, I'm going to start talking like you guys." I just think it's that simple.
Oh, he will never talk like those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one other thing I don't think he can.
Yeah. I don't think he wants to.
And isn't that not more conventionalism that, oh, he can't do it without the support of the establishment, he can't run a national campaign? Isn't that what we heard all through all the primaries? He was never supposed to get as far as he has. So isn't he kind of smart to say, well, I'm going to go it the rest of the way?
He has no choice. He doesn't have a choice.
He does have a choice. He'd have to change, and he doesn't want to.
But
he doesn't want to because he thinks it's a losing proposition.
But how many times is he going to be called to the woodshed by the Republicans, and they have their meetings, and we all, you know, the press is three blocks away, and we're watching them walk in and walk out, and then they have the press release, and they say, oh, all's going to be better.
The question is, does it help him? He thinks it helps him. That it puts him antithetical to the Republican and Democratic establishment, and
I understand his rationale. Yeah. The rationale I don't understand is the Republican leadership's continually thinking that they can change.
Well,
they don't think that, Joe. I don't think they think they can change him. I think we called this the first time that Trump started his therapy with Ryan. Right,
you know,
it's like marriage counseling, and I think that Ryan is doing politically the smart thing. The guy's the nominee, so Ryan can't fully diss him. He's got to show those millions of people who voted for him that they're paying attention. But at the same time, he's keeping his distance. So, and I know you hate the word, so to preserve the down ticket races, right? Yeah, So I think Ryan's going to keep doing. He's going to say, "Look, I'm going to keep reaching out to Trump and pay homage to the fact that he got 24 million or whatever, however many votes he got." Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, we're gonna do our own thing on the legislative side.
Well, Nancy just said, "Did I hear Rich just lay the lack of gun control at the president's doorstep?"
Absolutely.
He's channeling Trump now, Nancy.
All right. I would say to my fine but confused liberal friend that look at the record. Look at what Harry Reid said before. He said assault weapons ban, dead on arrival, never going to get there. And the Obama administration left it in the bill. There's a really telling and now, in retrospect, chilling interview between Dan Pfeiffer, he's one of Obama's minions, and Chris Wallace, where Chris Wallace says, "Hey, so this is dead on arrival. You guys still going to push it?" And he said, "Well, we knew we wouldn't be able to get it all done. We're gonna keep trying and leave it up to the Republicans." It was so chillingly political.
Well, look.
So I would take issue with her letter.
Well, I would not. And the genie is out of the bottle. We know that. Guns in America are a scourge. We know that. The president of the United States, who is a very wise man and who is appreciated by huge numbers of people in this country, comes along and says, "Yeah, I can do a little something, and it may be good to some extent, but if we let the pressure up, we lose." And I think that's what he was saying, and I respect him for it.
I'm a big liberal. I voted for Obama. I would vote for him again. But Rich is right on this. Obama came in saying, "I'm going to get around."
I think Rich is right on this.
Rich is right. Obama came in and said, "I will work with the other side. We'll end bipartisanship." And then got a lot of political movement out of a political clout by saying the Republicans won't budge. Here's a case where he would not budge. He could have done something. He could have been smaller, less than he wanted.
Imperfect.
But is that not the nature of compromise? And the Republicans haven't done it, and Obama has not done it. And this is one example of that.
And, Alan, I do think that was more within his power than theirs.
Okay,
I remain optimistic. I think it might still happen. I think we might get something done on background checks.
Well, you may be.
And I think Trump
could rightly
claim credit.
Joe, I know, of course.
Yeah,
of course. But, it's like I tell my clients all the time.
With these rifles. It's crazy.
What do you tell your clients? I tell my clients, when you're playing at this level, when you're in the major leagues and you're making decisions like this, whether it's business and finance, whether it's government and politics, you never have the choice between two good choices. It's always, whenever you have to make the tough decisions, it's because you have two bad choices, and you have to take, you have to accept the reality and try and make the less bad choice.
So when the president, puts up a nominee for the Supreme Court, and Mitch McConnell says no, and you have what seems to be a fairly good choice, but he just, it's dead on arrival.
I think that's such a, I think that is such, first of all, I think that that's such a less realistic possibility. This was a realistic thing that we had. We could have gotten background checks done. Yes, we couldn't get an assault weapons ban done. Yes, I agree with everybody. It's inexplicable that we cannot ban assault weapons. Okay, I get it. It's inexplicable. But that's, you know, when Harry...
Now we have neither. Blacklist,
right. Now we have neither.
Nor, how would you answer Joe's very good question from a few seconds ago?
That's politics. That doesn't... Well, that's, gun that's control, this sufficient. Is stuff. This is life and death stuff. I don't care who...
You don't think a Supreme Court...
I think it ultimately
is. Is life or death?
Look, there was never a chance that Obama was going to be able to get that last Supreme Court justice. It was never going to happen.
I don't get that as an argument.
Well,
in fact, it would be the Rich, it would be the first time in history. The New York Times just wrote a terrific article.
Yeah.
I'm
a little bit nervous that Rich is making so much sense to me today.
How do you figure? You figure that he's
know.
Right on.
It's
this
because
board?
I went to I went to Rockin' on the River last night and was watching the Talking
mellow.
Heads band stop making sense, and now I am starting.
Okay.
I'm making sense.
I didn't get what you said there, Rosemary. I take some real exception.
Well, she's siding with Richard.
On what? On the Supreme Court?
Just in general.
Obama
should not have nominated.
Join
I think
us,
Obama
Rosemary.
Missed
Become
a chance.
A conservative. We make a lot more money.
To get in a waiting list, at least one meaningful gun control measure. He missed the boat.
Yeah,
on
okay,
it.
but we're now talking about Joe switched the subject to the Supreme Court.
To the Supreme Court. I think
and
Rich
you said
right.
you agreed with Rich.
Rich said it's important, but it's just politics, and Obama
should
expect
politics.
It.
It's not
actually,
as important as gun
actually, I think Obama did expect it, and I think he's sitting back saying, "Okay, Hill's going to get in there, and then see what you got."
Okay,
I think he's enjoying it.
Well, that's possible, but also he has his own watch. But you're just wrong. I mean, he did what he was supposed to do. He appointed.
It is wrong, but look at McConnell's
judge.
Approval rating. You know, it's not like he's fooling anybody. He's got the lowest. He's even lower than Congress, which is the lowest. They hate Congress more than they hate reporters.
But if I was in charge of the Senate and somebody said, let's talk about these two issues, I'd say I'm not going to talk about some academic issue about a Supreme Court justice. Let's get something actually done.
Oh, you say everything is tied to everything else. So therefore,
yes.
He does what the Constitution says. He appoints a guy who has impeccable credentials, who was unanimously approved by the Senate in the past. And they said, we're not even going to do a vote on this. And believe me, when it's the other way around, the first thing they're yelling is up or down. Up or down, up or down.
Yes.
Come on, you two are very disappointing.
But that's exactly. But Alan,
you're banned too.
You have a remarkably small window of getting anything done, anything that comes close to bipartisanship. Why would you not exploit that admittedly small and elusive window and get done something that could actually, this could have saved lives?
He actually did it on finance. He's capable of doing it. He passed some horrible bills about government financing when the Republicans were threatening to shut down things. He just like swallowed the bitter taste and did it to get a small bit of movement. So why couldn't he do it with guns? And that was political. That was saying people are going to support me and they're going to blame the Republicans.
There are reasons for decisions like this. And one of the reasons, and I'm glad Joe brought this up, one of the reasons you don't give a tenth or a hundredth of a loaf is you want the whole deal because it'll save more lives. That's why you do that.
But with the waiting list, you might have saved lives.
Yeah, it's reality.
No.
And the both of you should be ashamed of yourself by when you can't do anything else, you say when you can't argue anyway. Oh, that's politics.
No.
Give me a break,
Alan. Didn't we have the exact same situation here in New York? And I could be. I'm going to defer to you on this because you know New York legislation better.
We're about 8 minutes late for a break.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right.
So can we go?
No, we'll talk about it.
Let's take a break and then we'll go back. Yeah. And then we'll come back.
Sorry, my bad.
No, that's fine. We'll be right back.
Shame on both of you.
Support comes from the Honest Wade Food Co-op, 100 Waterville Ave, Albany, New York. Specializing in local and organic produce, groceries, fine cheeses, and locally raised meats, proudly celebrating its 40th anniversary. HonestWade.coop. Saratoga Hospital, now offering 3D mammography technology for early detection of breast cancer. SaratogaHospital.org for information. and the Albany Pine Bush, presenting tales from the taverns at the Albany Pump Station with stories about historic sites that once hosted travelers passing through the Pine Bush. June 18th at 4 p.m., albanypinebush.org.
Saying shame on them. Where we left off.
Oh, well, we learned a lot during the break. Good morning and welcome back to the roundtable panel. Very nice to have you with us. We have a lot of letters on gun control, and given that we only have about 6 or 7 minutes, why don't we go to those and then, let me see, is there anything?
Well, there's Stacy. Who said? Oh,
well, I was just no. Okay, go ahead.
Rich and Rosemary, you're hilarious. It's all quote just politics. It's not just politics when it doesn't go how you think it should have gone. Come on, good for you, Stacy.
All right.
I don't believe there is a Stacy. I think Alan wrote that letter
during the break and just kind of sent it in.
Yeah. And Dan says, Rich and Rosemary, a match made at WAMC. I love it.
There you go.
Okay, Rosemary Rich just solidified my love of this panel discussion. This is real conversation, not rhetoric and hyperbole. WAMC rocks. From Mike in Shaftesbury. John, RCT says, good morning. As much as I love Obama and think he's a great statesman, he and Congress have not even come close to addressing the gun problem in this country. I want to see more courage with people putting their jobs on the line for the benefit of the common good in this country. No one is standing up. Well, I think there are a lot of people standing up. So, pardon me, I look at Elizabeth Esty in Congress. She's one of my great heroes. And Mr. Murphy, Senator Murphy, has just been wonderful on this. I think a lot of people are standing up. Joanne says, hi, Roundtable. Didn't Obama's latest gun control legislation mainly focus on background checks? Didn't the GOP knock it down? Well, Joanne, I think Rich will tell you that his position is they knocked it down because there was an unacceptable
inclusion. One little part
of
it that he wouldn't take out. Yes.
That's what Rich is saying. I, of course, applauded him for doing just that because it's these guns that are doing it. Laurel Massey, the great singer, why does the Republican Party, which is not a group of naive or stupid folks, put any trust in anything Trump promised to do or not do when his entire history shows that he does not keep his agreements? Well, because they have no choice. He's going to be their candidate. They have elections to run. So if they want to keep their offices, they're trying desperately to figure out some way to do that. It has nothing to do with right or wrong, in my opinion. Rich, did you want to just know?
I think that they, I'll say what I said before. I think they're distancing themselves from Trump. I don't think they're particularly listening to him. Or is he saying the voters? Is he saying that the voters have made that decision? And if that's the case, then I think they need to listen to, you know, what somebody's saying and how refreshing that is to a lot of people.
Micah says, Rich is wrong. His complaint is that the Democrats don't maneuver correctly. By the way, he's not a Democrat, so his critique is interesting. That doesn't change the fact that the Republicans and NRA are absolutely wrong, callous, and indifferent to American safety. Theirs is the fundamental wrong. Okay, and Bonnie says, bang, we're dead. A bullet by any other name will kill a swift and all some other stuff. And then Steven says, guns don't kill. Now I've seen the phrase, guns save lives. Do said guns have a CPR clip, Steve? Okay, and Luke says, I'm not reading it because you want to be anonymous. Don't do that to me, will you please? Remo says, we need to read signs and follow rules. No swimming means stay out of the water. Mm. I don't like that.
It just doesn't.
It means no swimming.
And there's no lifeguard, but a child. And again, it's a beach escape. There were chairs up.
Everything invites you to go into the water.
To take your shoes off and to walk around on the sandy beach.
You're just not a Disney dude, are you?
What do you mean?
You don't like, you're I'm the one who likes it. I agree with you.
I'm defending the fact that I think anyone who's been in that environment knows what it is, and I think the people who are calling in and saying that the parents are writing in and saying that the parents are responsible.
Oh, that's absolutely wrong. And they shouldn't be. That is terrible. I agree with that.
That's my point.
Okay, and Tom says, anybody know how much Trump is getting from the NRA? Well, he's certainly getting their help. I don't know that he's getting any money, but I know he's getting the help. Fitzhugh says,
I bet he's asking for some, though.
Greetings. While I don't wish to engage in parent shaming, no one is blameless here except the toddler and the alligator both doing well. Oh, come on.
And those parents are going to be punished for the rest of their lives. Really, it's we should be feeling nothing but compassion.
But where did we...
How did we get to this point?
Yeah, how do we get to this point where we just start... I mean, it's...
The assessment of blame
has kind of taken over... The actual trying to fix things that go wrong.
Yep.
Well,
you know, the first question always seems to be, well, whose fault was this? Rather than, you know,
horrible, stupid
how do we fix
things
it?
Happen.
Yeah.
And they always have.
And they always have. And it doesn't have to be the blame put. I mean, obviously, if there is a situation, and I agree with you, Rosemary, if they knew that there were alligators there, it should have been on the damn sign.
Right.
But it is astounding how many of these letters we are getting. And my premise is, you took your kids to Disneyland. Now you have to defend Disneyland, you know, and say it's the parents' fault.
I wonder if part of that is also, you know, that sometimes we seek for a way to say how this could not have happened to us. You don't want to admit that life is that random.
So you almost want to say,
yeah, but you know, I would have done this, or I would have stood closer, and it kind of protects you a little bit from the randomness of that. So I don't know that this is necessarily against the parents. I think it's people trying to kind of...
It's a self-defense mechanism.
Yeah, a self-defense, yes.
There's an amazing piece in the Washington Post. It won a Pulitzer Prize in explanatory journalism on those parents who forget that their kids are in the car seat in the back, and they end up dying in hot cars. And it was a remarkable piece of journalism where they looked at a number of these cases and what had happened to the parents afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it was all about because... And the writer himself later admitted, Gene Weingarten admitted later, that he got into the story thinking that could be me. I get so distracted. I'm intent on getting to work. I don't normally have the baby. That could be me. My kid's lucky to be alive. Yeah. And so that was his reaction.
Yeah. We are out of time. Thanks to everyone for being here, Alan. And
you have to read this last letter.
I'm surprised that Trump hasn't called the alligator attack Islamic terrorism.
We'll end there. We'll see you all later on. The program continues. We'll see the panel tomorrow. Thank you.